God bless saints. Such a joy for us to be once again in the presence of the Lord this morning. Let us all stand or return to Psalms 100. Read from 1 to 5 this morning. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and unto his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy endureth. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Let us put our hands together this morning and give the Lord a clap offering of praise this morning. Blessed be his holy name this morning. I want to sing this chorus this morning. To God be the glory. To God be the glory this morning. God be the glory this morning. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Be the glory for the things he has done. With his blood he has raised me. With his power he has raised me. To God be the glory for the things he has done, for the things he has done, for the things he has done, for the things, for the things he has done. Let us give him the praise, let us give him the glory this morning. To God be the glory this morning for all the things you have done for us. You have waked us up to see another day like this day, where we can come and give you the praise. We can come and give you the glory this morning. Lord, we love you. Lord, we adore you this morning. We lift our hands before you this morning. We are here, humble people, Lord. We are here to take action this morning. Praise be your holy name this morning. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your holy name this morning. Praise be your holy name this morning. Let's bow our head, let's close our eyes. Oh, great eternal heavenly Father, Lord, we deem this such a great privilege of being here once more again in present this morning. Lord, we are so tired, Lord, of all the pain, all the suffering that surrounds us at times, Lord. Even to see our loved ones, Lord, suffer at times they suffer, Lord. But Lord, you are God, Lord, and you change it not, Lord. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, and you are a God before, and you're still a God today, Lord. So help us, Lord, to lift up our eyes, Lord. Help us to lift up our hands, Lord. And because we know, Lord, already deem our liver this morning. And no matter what the circumstances, no matter the condition this morning, you are God and you are greater over these things, Lord. But Lord, we only have to believe that all is possible, Lord. And this morning, Lord, I bring the people before you this morning. Lord, you know our heart desire this morning. Lord, you know why we are here, Lord, is to be better people, Lord. And we pray this morning that you may come in our midst, Lord. And you may search every heart this morning. And Lord, help us not to leave the way we came this morning. But we want to be better people, Lord. Because, Lord, we know who you are looking for, Lord. You are looking for a world bride this morning. And Lord, to be a world bride, Lord, we have to be steadfast this morning. So Lord, we pray, Lord, that you may come in our midst this morning. And you may reveal yourself in such a way, Lord, that we may leave here with such a desire, Lord. Lord, saying, Lord, it was good to be in your presence this morning. So we pray, Lord, that you may take full control of the rest part of this service. Let everything that will be done and said this morning, let it be done according to your word, so you may get the honor and the glory. In Jesus Christ, in my thanksgiving this morning, praise be your holy name this morning. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your holy name this morning. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your holy name this morning. Praise be the name of the Lord this morning. Blessed be your holy name this morning. Are we happy to be in his presence this morning? There is no better place you can be but to be in the presence of the Lord this morning. We're going to sing this chorus, greet somebody in the name of Jesus. And we're going to go around and greet everyone and tell them you love them this morning. Amen. Let us have a good time in his presence this morning. Oh, greet somebody in Jesus' name. Tell them that you love them in Jesus' name. Tell them you forgive them in Jesus' name. Everybody smile, Jesus love. Everybody smile, Jesus love. Greet somebody, greet somebody in Jesus' name. Tell them that you love them in Jesus' name. Tell them you forgive them in Jesus' name. Everybody smile, Jesus love. Everybody smile, Jesus love. Greet somebody, greet somebody in Jesus' name. Tell them that you love them in Jesus' name. Tell them you forgive them in Jesus' name. Everybody smile, Jesus love. Everybody smile, Jesus love. Let us sing it again. Greet somebody, greet somebody in Jesus' name. You gotta tell them that you love them in Jesus' name. Let them not forgive them in Jesus' name. Everybody smile, Jesus love you. Everybody smile, Jesus love. We are together again, we are together again. Just praising the Lord, we are together again. In one accord, something good is going to happen. Together again. praising the Lord. We are together again.
We are together again.
Oh, just praising the Lord.
We are together again.
In one accord. Something good is going to happen. Something good is in store. We are together again. Just praising the Lord. Praise be His holy name this morning. Blessed be your holy name. Blessed be the name of the Lord this morning. Praise be your holy name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. At this time, we have a seat, or we'll sit back and listen to a special by Sister Wisdom this morning. Let's put our hands together while she comes this morning.
God is just a prayer away. All you need to do is call. He will hear your faintest cry. He is concerned. So while your tears are flowing through the time of mourning, He is here to lift your heavy heart. He is concerned. He knows, He cares, He sees, He's there, and He'll carry you. Oh yes, He will, yes, He's concerned. Weeping may endure for night, but the morning will bring joy. He won't give you more than you can bear. He's in love with you. He knows. Right there, and He He'll carry you. Oh, yes, He will, yes. He's concerned about you.
Praise be His holy name this morning. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We give you the praise, we give you the glory this morning. Blessed be your holy name this morning. Praise be your holy name, Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord this morning. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I want to thank Sister Wisdom Day for the wonderful special day this morning. Praise be His holy name this morning. I want to try this chorus this morning, saints. I don't know if you all know it, but I just felt led to sing it, so I'm going to try it this morning, right? Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Weeping may endure for the night, joy cometh in the morning. Weeping may endure for the night, joy cometh in the morning. Hallelujah for the joy, hallelujah for the joy, hallelujah for the joy, joy cometh in the morning. Sickness may endure for the night, joy cometh in the morning. Sickness may endure for the night, joy cometh in the morning. Hallelujah for the joy, hallelujah for the joy, hallelujah for the joy, joy cometh in the morning. Weeping may endure for the night, joy cometh in the morning. Weeping may endure for the night, joy cometh in the morning. Hallelujah for the joy, hallelujah for the joy, hallelujah for the joy, joy cometh in the morning. Praise be His holy name this morning. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your holy name this morning. Praise be the name of the Lord this morning. Praise be His holy name. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Praise be His holy name this morning. Just a closer walk with Thee, granted Jesus is my plea this morning. Daily walking close to Thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. After this song, we have a special by Sister Michelle this morning.
Just a closer walk with Thee, granted Jesus is my plea. Oh, daily walking close to Thee, oh, let it. Let it be through this wall of talents, near if I felt a Lord who came, oh, with me my body changed. None but Thee, dear Lord, none but Thee, just a closer walk with Thee. Oh, just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea, and granted, Jesus is my plea. Oh, dear. Close to Thee, oh, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. When my feeble life is over, and when my feeble life is over, time for me
no more. Guide me gently, safely, oh, to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore, just a closer walk with me. Daily walking close to thee, oh, let it be, it all, let it through this wall of tides and snakes, and through this wall of tides and okay. Oh, now with me, my burden shame. Oh, none but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Jesus is my plea, and daily walking close to thee. Oh, let it be, dear Lord, let it just a closer walk with thee. Jesus is my plea. Oh, daily walking close to thee. Oh, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Praise be your holy name this morning. Lord, that's our heart desire here this morning, is to be closer with you this morning. It's to be like you this morning. Praise be your holy name this morning. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your holy name this morning. Let us give the Lord a clap offering of praise this morning. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is our plea this morning. Praise be his holy name.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean in Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace.
and every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds without avail. On Christ the solid rock I stand and wholly lean, in Jesus' name. On other grounds is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sounds, oh, may I then in him be found, clothed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before his throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean in Jesus' name.
Blessed be his holy name this morning. Praise be your holy name this morning. Blessed be the name of the Lord this morning. We want to thank you for the rock this morning, the solid rock, Lord. All the ground is sinking sand this morning. Praise be your holy name this morning. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your holy name this morning. We want to thank Sister Michelle for the wonderful special this morning. And Christ the solid rock I stand this morning. Praise be his holy name.
Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We have a few guests this morning. Brother Ricardo and Sister Daisy. God bless you both. Good to have you here. Amen. They were invited here by Brother Robles. God bless Brother and Sister Robles. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's good to have each and every one of you here this morning. We don't have any written praise report, but I'd like to give one. Just last week, you know, we had the services going on at Brother Wesco's, and Saturday night we had such a tremendous time. I got to shouting all over the place and lost my voice. Came here Sunday morning and tried to lead the worship service, and my voice was pretty much gone. But Saturday night, Sunday night, we were on our way home, and we decided to stay for a little bit of a Sunday night service. And we did, and when we got ready to get up and go, Brother Wesco wanted me and my wife to sing. Well, the song that he wants us to sing was a song that I always lose my voice on towards the end. Well, I told Brother Wesco, my voice is gone. He said, no, brother, you're not going to get away with that. So he asked the brothers to come and take up the offering. He ran back there and prayed for me. And, you know, after Brother Jack and the choir sung the song, I Shall Have What I Decree, those words were pulsating in my heart. And he called me and my wife to come up and sing. And, you know, when you hear a song like that, you have to put the word of the Lord upon your lips. So I was still nervous and afraid, but then I realized I'm amongst believers. So me and my wife, you know, even when we got ready to start the song, I had a little doubt, but then it started to leave me. So when I opened my mouth to sing, the song actually came out. So the Lord healed me on the spot. And I just wanted to praise him this morning for his grace and his mercy. Praise the Lord. So God's still on the throne. Amen. He's still the healer. I believe that. Amen. We don't have any written requests down here, but we want to continue to pray for Brother Mike, Brother and Sister Burrs. I ask that you pray for the Gibson family. Brother Gibson went home to be with the Lord last Friday, and he was actually the first minister in the message that I heard preach. He was also the man that baptized me. So he's missed very much this morning. I just ask that you remember his family. Amen. Will you stand to your feet? Let's offer a word of prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we bow humbly our hearts and heads before you this morning, Lord, being grateful that you are, Lord. You are all sufficiency. Everything we have need of is in you, O Lord, and we know this, Lord. You have proved it time and time again, Lord, and we are living testimonies of the grace of Almighty God. When you prove yourself, Lord, being supernatural, you performed a supernatural work in each one of us by saving our souls, Lord, and we're so grateful. We're so grateful that we're alive in this hour, Lord God, the hour that you're coming is in, Lord God. And as we see your word being fulfilled out there in the world, it's also being manifested in us, Lord. We're being changed from glory unto glory, Lord. And someday, Lord, your glory will completely consume us, Lord, and our bodies will be changed. And finally, oh Lord, we'll meet you in the air and forever be with you, Lord. Father God, we just ask that you remember Brother Mike this morning where he is, Lord God. And Father, we ask that you move upon the scene, Lord, in a special way. Father, you sent forth your word and healed him, Lord God. It's a finished work, Lord. We just ask, Lord, that you increase his faith, Lord. May he reach out and touch the hem of your garment, Lord, that he shall be made whole. Father, we believe right along with our brother, Lord God, and we trust, Lord, that it's done. Father, we believe also for Brother Burrs, Lord God, Sister Burrs, you know the need, Lord God. And Father, we have needs upon our hearts, Lord, not only for ourselves, but all those that we come in contact with. May they see Jesus in us, Lord. Father, we pray, Lord, dearly for your servants this morning, Brother Jack, Lord, the rest of our ministering brothers, Lord, ask that you help them get out of the way, Lord. Bless them, Lord, in a special way that they may be a blessing to your children this morning. Father, we just ask, Lord, that you come in a special way, Lord. We look for you in simplicity, but you still do great things. We love you, Father. Commit all things to you now in the blessed and lovely name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Let's praise him this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We have a few announcements this morning. We want to say happy birthday to Sister Julie. Praise the Lord. She looks good for 55, right? No, she's still a babe. What? You what? 22, 23? 26. Well, praise the Lord. God bless you, Sister Julie. Praise the Lord. Also, Brother Wesco has a guest minister from Uganda tonight at 6:30. Sister prayer service Tuesday, July 21st at 7:30. God bless you. Praise the Lord. We like to ask the brothers to come and take up the offering at this time. God bless you.
Let us bow our head, let us close our eyes. Oh, great eternal heavenly Father, Lord, once more again as we come before your throne of grace this morning, Lord, at this time we bring the tithes, we bring the offering before you, Lord. Bless those who have to give, Lord. Even those who don't have to give this morning, Lord, we pray, Lord, that they may make a way, Lord, a provided way, that they may be able to give the next time. Lord, we pray, Lord, that this money may use now wisely for the funds of the gospel. In Jesus Christ's name of thanksgiving, we pray. Amen. Praise him. Thanks, thanks, I give you thanks for all the things you have done this morning.
Thanks, thanks,
give you thanks for all the things you have done. I am so blessed, my soul is at rest. Lord, I give you thanks, thanks, thanks. Thanks, thanks, I give you thanks for all the things you have done. I am so blessed, my soul is at rest. I give you thanks. Praise be his holy name this morning. Lord, we want to thank you for everything that you have done unto us this morning. Praise be your holy name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What a friend we have in Jesus this morning. All our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer this morning. Praise be his holy name. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything God in prayer. I know what peace we often forfeit. I know what needless pain we bear. Oh, because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptation? Have we trials and temptation? Is there trouble anyway? Is there trouble anyway? We shall never be discouraged. Just take it to the Lord and pray. Take it to the Lord and pray. And can we find a friend so faithful, who will all our sorrow share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Just take it to the Lord. And are we weak and heavy laden? Are we weak and heavy laden? Grumble with a load of care. Precious Savior, still a refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Unto thy friend despise for sin, it did. Just take it to the Lord in prayer. still take and shield it. I will find a solace. Have we trials and temptation? Have we trials and temptation? Is there trouble anywhere? We shall never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. And can we find the friends so faithful, who will all our sorrow share? Jesus knows our every weakness, just take it to the Lord in prayer. Praise be your holy name this morning. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your holy name this morning. What a friend we have in you this morning. All our sins, all our grief to bear this morning. Praise be your holy name this morning. Blessed be the name of the Lord. At this time we sing this chorus. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. We welcome the pastor to the pulpit this morning.
Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While another tower was smiling, pass me by, Savior, 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 blessed Savior, hear my humble cry,
hear my humble
cry. While another tower was gone,
do not pass me by,
do not pass me,
Savior, Savior,
Savior, Savior.
All on others thou art calling, oh, do not pass me by. Come on, sing it again. I'm crying, Savior, oh, say, oh, hear my humble cry. Oh, while on others thou art calling, oh, do not pass me by. Come on, give him praise. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Blessed be your holy name. Don't pass us by this morning, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Certainly appreciate the Lord to be in his house once more. We have a lot of saints that are out on family reunion type events and things of that nature. I know Sister Brown and Sister Laura, they went up to celebrate 95-year birthday of their aunt. So keep them in prayers. They make their way back from South Carolina. And our family had their reunion in Georgia this weekend. And so my mother-in-law and Sister Tina and Sister Rachel, they're there. And they'll be coming back on today. We went up for a couple days and got back last night. So keep them in prayer as they travel back. And Brother Burrs is, I got a text saying he's not doing very well this morning. So I'm glad that you all prayed for him. But just want to ask that you just continue to remember him in prayer. That God would just raise up Brother Burrs. You know, God would touch him and raise him up just once more. You know, we're asking God. So good to have Sister Wisdom back with us. Amen. From her trip. Praise the Lord. Amen. And I always just get the name wrong. Taina. Yeah, so good to see Sister Taina this morning. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. So, Brother Cecil, good to see you this morning as well. Amen. From Pinnacle Palms. Praise the Lord. Amen. So I won't have you standing for too long. We'll just get right into the word of the Lord. Thank you all so much for all the specials. Amen. And just the worship leading on today. God richly bless you. We just really, really appreciate you all. I am going to read, amen, from the book of, I'll read two passages. I'll read from 2 Peter chapter 1, and then I'll come back to 1 Samuel chapter 24. Praise the Lord. I was telling the church on Wednesday night, certainly I wanted to appreciate the church and just the way that many of you all just kind of handled things from last week. You know, I see a lot of maturity, you know, here in our church, and I'm very grateful for what I see. And you know, we certainly thank God for the fellowship that we had with our precious brothers. And I had a conversation with one of the brothers, just really appreciate his spirit and everything. And so I just felt it would be good just to maybe have him come to share with us, and very grateful. You know, but I didn't know that they had some things in their heart from, you know, things that happened over the weekend, and I found out a lot more after the service. But I just appreciate the way that the church just conducted themselves and handled that. We want to be brothers and sisters in Christ. And one thing, as a pastor, I never want to bring anybody that would try to damage or hurt the church in any way. That's never my intention to do that. You know, but we, you know, sometimes God allows us to go through some things just to see where we are, right? And I just want to say I'm so grateful for where you all, just the way that you conducted yourselves. And I know that there were some things spoken about. You know, we believe Brother Branham was the seventh angel, according to Revelation 10:7, Revelation 3, and also the messenger of Malachi 4, before the great and terrible day of the Lord. We believe that. And I know the brother mentioned something about another a prophet. And, you know, only thing I can say is I don't know that prophet. I know Brother Branham. I know his ministry, and I support that. But we do believe that the Ephesians 4 ministry is something that God has ordained for this day. So if there are other prophets, you know, that God uses in that manner. We have no problem with that because that's according to Ephesians 4. But when it comes to who's revealing the word or who has revealed the word, that's only Brother Branham. There won't be any other eighth messengers. It stopped at number 7, and that was William Branham. So we believe that, right? We believe that. But if somebody's prophesying, we don't have a problem. As long as they, you know, as long as it lines up with the word of God, we have no problem with that. But we're not searching out for anybody else, right? The spirit of prophecy can fall upon anybody, and we'll receive it. But we know that God's messenger for this hour was William Branham. So that's what we support. So, but I just, you know, just again, just appreciate you all, and certainly thank you for just how you just handled everything. You're very, very mature church. Very mature church. God richly bless you. Amen. Let's read here from 2 Peter 1, and I'll be honest and think that this message it was just in our sequence because we're talking about Christ and the life of David, but this message is something that God had already planned, knowing that last Sunday was going to happen. So let's just go forward with what God has for us. Amen. I'm one that believe we don't have to go out our way to do anything, right? All we got to do is just keep serving the Lord, and He'll take care of everything else. Praise the Lord. Amen. 2 Peter 1, I'm reading here from verse 2. It says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance," which we'll be focusing a lot on that today. Amen. To knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. If ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Let's turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 24. Amen. Praise the Lord. And also just want to thank the Lord for our precious brother and sister that was invited by Brother Robles. Amen. So good to have them in fellowship with us on today. Amen. 1 Samuel 24. And I'm just going to start here, verse 6. Actually, let's see. Pull back one more, verse 5 here. It says, "And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him, because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So David stayed his servants with these words, and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. David also arose afterward and went out of the cave and cried after Saul, saying, My Lord, the king. And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself. And David said to Saul, Wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, Behold, David seeketh thy hurt. Behold, this day thine eyes have seen how that the Lord hath delivered thee today into mine hand in the cave, and some bade me kill thee. But mine eyes spared thee, and I said, I will not put forth mine hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see the skirt of thy robe in my hand. For in that I cut off the skirt of thy robe and killed thee not, know thou and see that that there is neither evil nor transgression in my hand, and I have not sinned against thee, yet thou huntest my soul to take it. The Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. As saith the proverb of the ancients, wickedness proceedeth from the wicked, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. The Lord is a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's just bow in a word of prayer, and we will just prepare to continue our thought here today. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to read the word of God, but we trust that the Holy Spirit will now come and help us to receive the things that we've read. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you would just help us, Lord, to draw a little closer to you through the word of God today. And we ask that you just take complete control of every thought, every action, every reaction. We also pray, Lord, that you look upon Brother Burrs, who's not feeling his best today. And as Mom just sent the text to say she was going to stay with him because he wasn't feeling well. God, I pray that you just touch Dad and his body, and that you would just strengthen him. And God, we just bind the hands of the enemy that's coming against him. You told us that we have power to bind and power to loose. So, Lord, we bind the hands of the enemy, and we loose the healing virtue of God just to flow from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. And I just pray, God, that you just that you raise him up for your glory and your honor. Also, we remember Brother Mike as well. We just ask that you continue to look upon him and just give the doctors wisdom on how to handle his situation, God. And we just thank you and praise you for complete and total healing in his body as well. And we know many of us are going through great trials, but God, we're expecting great victories. And just pray that you just bless, Lord, the remainder of this service. Thank you for all that you have done thus far. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. So we are continuing our journey, amen, and looking at Christ in the life of David. And as we have mentioned before, as we, you know, kind of go through this journey, we don't want to just stop and just keep our eyes and our attention focused on David, amen. We have to begin to see ourselves in the scripture and how God is manifesting himself in us. And, you know, I'm sure David probably didn't see things this way. He just looked at himself going through trials and going through tribulations and distresses. And where we're going to find him today, he was in a really, really tough period of his life. The prophet just kind of brought out, and I won't go into all the quote, but, you know, David finds himself, you know, already the pre-anointed king. And, you know, here he knows that God has ordained for him to come into a certain place. But before he gets to that place, he is going through trial after trial and test after test. And, I mean, he's just getting beat on every side. You know, I mean, we can just look at this and, you know, he's running from Saul. You know, he finds himself even this man that used to sleep in his father's house and had a nice little room there and, you know, watching the sheep for his father, eventually got promoted to going to the king's house and sleeping inside the palace, you know, because he was hired to be a musician for the king, for King Saul. But, you know, because of the jealousy after he defeated Goliath, and because of the jealousy that was in Saul, now we find that David is on the run from Saul, having to be let down out of the window by his wife. And, you know, now he's on the run. So he goes from sleeping in his father's house to sleeping in the palace to now we find him sleeping in caves. Amen. What a journey for a man that has been already anointed to be king. And you think about it. Lord, you called me to be king. Why am I sleeping in a cave? You know, God, you called me to be king, and, you know, and I'm on the run. There was one time in scripture we find here this man's supposed to be the king of Israel, but he's actually serving with the armies of the Philistines. Can you imagine the thoughts that are going through his head? Maybe David might say, well, maybe that was a mistake. Maybe it was, you know, a mirage. Maybe it really didn't happen. Maybe I didn't get the anointing. Maybe I done lost my mind. Something that happened here. I don't understand why I'm going through the things that I'm going through when I know God pre-anointed me. Right? I mean, we all have those type of struggles, and we have those type of trials. I know I'm the bride of Jesus Christ. And if I'm the bride, why I'm going through this? Right? Why I got to face that if I'm the bride of Jesus Christ? Well, it's in order to bring the character of Christ, amen, out in you. So we're not going to run from the trials, right? But we run to the trials. Praise the name of the Lord, church. Amen. So, you know, I mean, we got to see ourselves here in the scripture. And, you know, and David was just like us. And some of the things that he went through, he was just like us. He was, you know, wasn't some super anointing that was on him. I mean, he had the same old type of struggles that the rest of us have. But yet the hand of the Lord was on him. And the same hand of God that was on David, that same hand of God is on you today. Praise the Lord. I thank God for this. But let me just kind of, you know, we'll come back into that. But let me start with a couple quotes here that I want to just read. Amen. First, this is on the second page. I mean, on the backside of the page, the masterpiece. I want to read from there first. And then I want to go to Blasphemous Names. There's a quote there in Blasphemous Names. These two I'd like to start out with here in the masterpiece. The prophet says this. He says, notice here. The life that was in the husk, in the stalk, and in the tassel, in the husk, all gathers in the seed. And the life that was in the stalk went, one went to make the other. Justification made a way for sanctification. Sanctification made a way for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Ghost made a way for the Holy Ghost itself to come right down in perfection back to the Word again to manifest itself. So as we're going through this particular, you know, topic of Christ in the life of David, you know, we need to understand, you know, we're kind of going right up this pyramid over here, the statue of a perfect man, and we looked at, you know, how the faith was manifested in David's life, the virtue of faith. We realized they did not have the Holy Ghost back in David's day, but yet we can see Christ manifesting himself in his life, right? You know, but we can see faith there, and we can see virtue, and we can see knowledge, and now we're working our way up to, you know, the temperance today. But, you know, I want to just kind of make it plain, because this next quote that I read might throw a little thing, might throw you for a curve, but I don't want to leave you like that. You know, I believe that, you know, when we have the Holy Ghost, right, it puts us in the path to start allowing these things to be developed in us. Right, I believe that. But the other thing that I also believe is that when we have the Holy Ghost, it's not just a baptism for gifts. Amen. But it's a baptism in order to bring us back into the very life of Jesus Christ. See, you know, some churches, the way they get the Holy Ghost, they get a little quickening, they get a little speaking in tongues. I see people with the Holy Ghost, they dance for the world, and then they also dance for God. Right, and they call themselves having the Holy Ghost. They're in church shouting up something this morning, but last night just came out of a club. And they still say they got the Holy Ghost. I believe if it's the true life of Jesus Christ, the true Spirit of God, it's going to produce the life of Christ. And I don't think we'll find Jesus in any club. If he's in the club, he's going to turn the club upside down. He's not going to be out on the dance floor. Right? Amen. If it's the true life of Christ, amen, it produces certain things in us. And I believe that true life is going to produce faith and virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and the true love of God. That's what the Holy Ghost is to produce. And when we find that it's not producing those things, then we need to do a checkup. Praise the Lord. So let's just kind of go on here. Justification made a way for sanctification. Sanctification made a way for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost made a way for the Holy Ghost itself to come right down in perfection. Back to the Word again to manifest itself. Let's go to Blasphemous Names. The prophet says this, then to my faith I add virtue, godly virtue. Then to my virtue I add knowledge of the Word. To my knowledge I add temperance. And what that temperance is self-control. Oh my. Now that's a good one, church, because we all have to be tested there. Right? Can you control yourself? When something go against what you thought it should, the way you thought it should have went, can you control your reaction? And I'm going to tell you, with the Holy Ghost, you can control your reaction. Without the Holy Ghost, you react the wrong way. But with the Holy Ghost, you control yourself. My, I remember being in school. You can take that down just for a moment. But I remember being in school, and if we had, you know, if you acted up in school, I don't know if they still do this nowadays. But if you acted up in school, maybe you blurted out something at the wrong time. The teacher told everybody to be quiet, but you just had to say something funny to get everybody's attention. Well, back in my day, the teacher would make us say, you know, pull out a sheet of paper. And when you pull out that paper, you just sit there and you write, I will have self-control. You had to write it 100 times. I will have self-control. I will have self-control. And you just kept, and see, back then, come on, let me tell you, let me talk to the young people, because y'all don't understand, it wasn't no copying and pasting. Come on, you had to write it 100 times with your finger, I will have self-control. And you wrote it, and you turned it into the teacher. You didn't get no grade or nothing, but it was just something to try to instill self-control in you. And they felt that if you wrote it 100 times, eventually you'll control yourself. But I'm going to tell you, I don't care how many times you write it down, without the Holy Ghost, you can't control yourself. Right? You'll blurt out one more time. If the opportunity presents itself, you'll blurt out again, because you can't have self-control without the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. But, you know, I mean, you know, we think about these things, and you know, but this is something that God is requiring of us as Christians, amen, as mature Christians, that we got to be able to have temperance, which is self-control. Let's go on. It says, to my knowledge, I have temperance, self-control. I like that. My country, tis of thee, crown my soul with self-control from sea to shining sea. Patience, oh my, test it. Don't you worry. Satan will try them for you. Come on, church. If you want to know whether, amen, whether these things are being manifested in you, you got to first go through a test. You want to know if you got self-control? Glory to God. Allow a certain thing to happen and see how you respond and tell whether you got it or not. And if I can just say it, I saw a lot of self-control in this church last week. Praise the Lord. I saw a lot of self-control right here. A lot of people not just listening to the word, but they are applying the word of God. I thank God for that. I thank God to be a part of a church like that. Come on. Temperance, self-control. Look at it. He says this. Say, don't worry. Test it. Don't you worry. Satan will try them for you. It says, I'm climbing up the ladder now. See, I've added virtue, knowledge, temperance. Now I've got to add patience. And look what he say. I still ain't got the Holy Ghost. Now, that's why I preface this by saying, you know, the baptism of the Holy Ghost makes a way for the Holy Ghost itself. Right? So when we talk about having the Holy Ghost itself, amen, not just a baptism for gifts, not just, the only gift that most people even look for nowadays when they get the baptism of the Holy Ghost is the gift of tongues. Well, there's 8 more gifts outside of just the gift of tongues. Why don't we seek God for all of what God got for us, right? Not just one gift, but give us everything that's in there. We want it all, right? But, you know, many people just stop at the gift. I don't want to just go to a church where everybody just speaking in tongues, right? Or everybody just got the gift of knowledge. Or everybody got the gift of wisdom. We don't want a church that we want it all. We want everything the Bible promised to be inside the church. But not only that, we also want a church where those people that are operating in those gifts also have a life that's manifest in Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. See, I mean, you know, if the life ain't there, then we just going off into fanaticism again. But when the life is there, then we're getting back to the Bible again. That's what we're looking for, church. A church where we're completely on the word of God and operating according to the word of God. I thank God for that. Now, look at this. He say, I got to add patience. I still ain't got the Holy Ghost. And what we talk about there is the Holy Ghost itself, because we're going to see where those things are in us or not, right? And when it's there, all of that will be manifested. That's what brings us to the stature of a perfect man. So I still ain't got the Holy Ghost. And after I had patience, I had godliness. You know what that is? Like God. I add that. And let me make sure I make that clear. You know, I believe you got to have the Holy Ghost before you can even start climbing this. Right? Because you can't do this without the Holy Ghost. You can't do it. But realize that birth is taking you to the very person himself. The birth is not just for a gift. The birth is to take you into the person of Christ. There should be little messiahs on the earth today. How are they going to be able to mistake you for Jesus? Huh? How are they going to do that? Well, it's not going to be because of signs, wonders, and miracles. It's going to be because of a live voice that's coming forth from your being.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. That's what we're under expectation for. Let's go on. He says, I add godliness. You know what it is? Like God. I add that, don't misbehave myself. Go like a Christian gentleman ought to. Let that not be put on. Something in me, the love of God, just boiling. See, boy, I could do it, but maybe I better not. See, it's there anyhow. It's a birth. I've been birthed into this, into this, into this. They're just kind of pointing at each one on the pyramid. I've been birthed into faith, into virtue, into knowledge, into temperance, into patience, into godliness, into brotherly kindness, into to love. It says, I've been birthed into this, into this, into this, into this, into this. And then the love of God, Christ, comes down and seals all that up in me for service. Oh, glory to God. See? So, this is just where we want to head to. Now, let me just go on and let me add also this from Statue of a Perfect Man, paragraph 33:4. And you see, this temperance is self-control. It's the virtue of one who masters his desires and passions. You know, he masters. I mean, you can actually get control over your spirit, right? You're not giving the same excuse, but I'm just a man. God understands, and you get, you know, none of that. No, you have the ability to master that, to master your flesh, your fleshly desires. You have the ability to, the Holy Ghost give you power over that. You can overcome your flesh. Yeah, I'm going to tell you another thing. You can live above sin. A lot of people feel like they can't, but, you know, with the Holy Ghost, you can live above sin. You don't have to keep sinning. Praise the Lord. You can live above sin. Amen, church. The Holy Ghost is what gives us power to do that. So let's keep going here. The Statue of a Perfect Man, the prophet says this. He says, fourthly, we'll have to hurry because it just feels so good to stand here and talk about it. Yea, fourthly, thank you. Add temperance. Oh, my, we come to temperance. Now, you've had faith first. You have to have that to begin with. Then you add virtue to your faith if it's the right kind of virtue. Then you add knowledge if it's the right kind of knowledge. Now, you're going to add temperance. Temperance doesn't mean stop drinking alcohol here either. That's not what we're talking about. You know, my God, with the Holy Ghost, you ain't even struggling with alcohol. With the Holy Ghost, you ain't struggling with smoking. Not with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost take those things out of you. I'm going to just be honest. I can't see how people can say they got the Holy Ghost and still smoking and drinking. Amen. We talk about the Spirit of God living inside of somebody, right? I mean, it's not just a feeling. This is not just a quickening, just when the music get right for you to jump up and do what you want to do. That's not what we talk about. When the music ain't right, you still got something that'll keep you. We talk about after you leave church and you don't feel like shouting and speaking in tongues or doing nothing. You got something that'll make you live right. That's the Holy Ghost. It'll keep you in school. It'll keep you on the job. It'll keep you wherever you go. Brother, you can go to the back, a jungle down in South America, and the Holy Ghost will still be keeping you. Mama might not be there. Daddy might not be there. But the Holy Ghost will always be there. See, that's what we're talking about. My God. I mean, I've seen people come to church and get a little anointed on them, stand right here and prophesy, right, and then go out and live like a devil. We talk about something to take that out of people. Huh? I mean, where they look like Jesus, they act like Jesus, they talk like Jesus, they live like Jesus. I don't want you to have my spirit because, you know, it's easy for you to take on the pastor's spirit. People do that in congregations all over America. They take it on the pastor's spirit. No, we want the people to take on the Holy Spirit.
Yes, sir.
And we all look like little messiahs walking the earth. Ooh, glory to God. Hallelujah. See, we're not talking about, you know, you got the Holy Ghost talking about you can't stop from drinking. No, you don't have it. Right? The Holy Ghost take that desire from you. I'm still struggling with this smoking, but praise God, I got the Holy. You ain't got nothing. You got a spirit. You do have a spirit. It's just not the Holy Spirit. Come on, church. Glory to God. And then temperance doesn't mean stop drinking alcohol here either. You know, because people think they got it. You know, because I can control my, you know, I used to have a bad drinking problem. But now, you know, I don't drink that much anymore. So the Holy Ghost is doing a mighty work. No, no, no. The work that the Holy Ghost is doing, he's going to take drinking from you completely. Now, and I'm just using drinking. You put something else there. Whatever you're struggling with, the Holy Ghost will take that from you. Lust, the Holy Ghost will take lust from you. Huh? If a young man, a young lady, even today, get connected with porn, the Holy Ghost will clean that up for you. Amen. You can't stop it. Get the Holy Ghost. It'll help you stop it. You have something on the inside of you to say, no, don't you go to that website. No, don't go to that. Don't go down that aisle in the store. Praise the Lord. The devil know how to set you up. Put certain things right there at the counter for you. Right? I'm a paying. I'm look away. Huh? The Holy Ghost will have you doing all kind of things just so you can keep yourself clean. Praise the Lord. Holy Ghost won't let you laugh at any kind of joke. Woo! Huh? Every joke about somebody's mama is not funny. Come on, somebody. The Holy Ghost won't have you out there telling them kind of jokes. Praise the Lord. Amen. Racial jokes and all that, the Holy Ghost ain't going to have you doing all that. Come on, somebody. Might as well tell the truth. Man, the Holy Ghost don't do that. I can't see nobody coming in Jesus' presence and feeling uncomfortable. Right? I mean, we had women with some really bad situations going on in their life. But she could sit right there and touch the feet of Jesus and wash them and then dry them with her hair. Feel very comfortable. Now, the people that felt uncomfortable was the scribes and the Pharisees. The religious people. Come on, somebody. Oh my God. See, this Holy Ghost we talk about, it produces a particular type, a particular life. The same life that we see in Scripture, we want to see that live today in the people of God. Oh, come on. We're not just coming to church just to come to church. Right? But we're actually trying to achieve something here. We're trying to climb to the stature of a perfect man and woman in God. Oh my God. Hallelujah. You can preach like I don't know what. Teach like I don't know what, but if you ain't manifesting this life, you ain't done nothing. Come on. Glory, glory, glory. Amen. Let me keep reading. Temperance doesn't mean alcoholic cure. Not in this case. This is Bible temperance. Holy Spirit temperance. That's just one of the lusts of the flesh, but we're talking about Holy Spirit temperance. That means how to control your tongue. Oh my God. I like this. Holy Spirit temperance is how to control your tongue and not be a tattler. You know what just happened here today? No, we're not trying to be tattlers. Huh? The Holy Ghost will control that inside of you. Oh, glory to God. Amen. This means how to control your tongue, not be a tattler, how to control your temper, not to fly off every time anybody speaks cross to you. Oh, glory to God. I like that. So, you know, because sometimes you're going to have some people speak cross to you. You're going to say some things that get underneath your skin. But your response, your reaction shows what's really on the inside of you. Right? I don't know, you just spoke cross to me. Now I can, there's a bunch of ways I can respond. I can start speaking cross back to you too. Huh? But is that really going to accomplish anything? Because I done tried that. I've been down that path. Right? Somebody speaks something that you don't really agree with, you just hammer them. But now all you do is just create more division. But Brother Branham told us, come on, he told us, say, what we got to do is learn how to draw the circle bigger. When somebody puts you out, just draw it bigger and put them right back in. And every time they try to get out, put them right back in. Now, it takes something to do that. It's very easy that once a person get out the circle, leave them out the circle.
Huh? But the Holy Ghost said, no, draw the circle bigger and put them back inside the circle. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost in us now tell us that, you know, when I'm eating a chicken and I hit a bone, I just push the bone to the side, but I keep eating chicken. Come on, the Holy Ghost can help you do that. The Holy Ghost ain't going to say everything you said is bone. No, it's not all bone. Some of it is chicken. So I'm going to take the chicken and I'm going to push the bones to the side. I'm going to eat the cherries and push the seeds to the side. Oh, my God, my God, my God, my God, church. Hallelujah. Not fly off every time. Huh? See, that quote say we fly off every time. Oh, you can't talk to me that way. I need to ask a question. Who are you that people can't talk to you that kind of way? Our Lord, they spit on. And he still said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Huh? We got a long way to go. But it looked like the good thing about it is that we headed in that direction. How to control your temper, not fly off every time anybody speaks cross to you. Oh, my boy, a lot of us are going to fall off before we get started, aren't we? See, then we wonder why God's not in his church doing miracles and things that he used to do. You heard Brother Solomon just share the testimony of how here we leave right from a service and go into another service and a miracle take place right down the spot. See, the right attitude brings these things about. Oh, my God. The right responses bring these things about. I just thank God for it. Let me go on. I got to finish that this quote, and I'm going to get to David in a second. But this right here, this is good for the soul. paragraph 33:6 is where I'm at here in Statue of a Perfect Man. The prophet says, yes, sir, see at these things, at temperance. Temperance, how to answer in kindness. Temperance is not, you know, oh, you done rubbed me the wrong way. Look, we're not Pentecostal kittens. That's not here. We're not Pentecostal kittens. See, a Pentecostal cat, Brother Branham said, you know, he didn't really like cats that much, you know. But he saw in a little vision, he saw that cat, that Pentecostal, he said, it's just a little kitten. And he said, man, it's just purring. He said, then he looked on the side and said, Pentecostal kitten. He said, just, you know, it's purring. He said, man, nice little kitten. Then so the angel said, well, just rub him the other way. And it took him, and rather than rub him this way, because if you got a cat, boy, you rub him that way, boy, they'll stay there by your hand all day long if you let them. They just want to be rubbed. Just rub them this way. Just rub them this way. And then when you go against the grain, rub them the other way. Say in that vision, say that cat, you know. And I'm going to tell you, that's the way they act. We got one at home. But you rub him this way, you do everything he wants you to do. But once you go against what he wants you to do, he'll about scratch you and bite you and do everything else he wants to. And then come back in a few minutes later, wants you to play with him again. Pentecostal kitten in the vision, amen, that when he stroke him the wrong way, he starts screaming. And he was ready to fight then. Come on, somebody. See, so when you get stroked the opposite direction, what is your reaction to that? Do you still respond in kindness? Oh, glory to God. We talk about Bible temperance, church. Huh? This can't be something that we just talk about. Eventually, it's got to be manifested. And if I can say it, I saw it manifested right here in Spirit of Truth Tabernacle. Glory to God. I'm ready to keep going on to the statue of a perfect man. Yes, sir. Thank God, thank God. Come on, look at it, look at it. He said, yes, sir, see, add these things, add temperance to it. Temperance, how to answer in kindness. When wrath is spoke to you, somebody say, you bunch of holy rollers down there, don't jump out and roll up your sleeves now. See, not that, but talk with godly love. Yes, temperance, kindness. It's the way you want to be. Look at this. When you're riled upon, rile not back. Let him be your example. And rile means to stir up or to anger or to irritate. So when somebody's trying to irritate you or stir you up or anger you, when they rile you, don't rile back. Let him be your example. When they said, if thou be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread, he could have done it and show he was God, but he had temperance. When they called him Beelzebub, he said, I forgive you for it. Is that right? They pulled handfuls of beard out of his face and spit in his face and said, come down off the cross. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. My God. Can I just read a scripture here? And I want to slip over into something. Give me 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. Let's just read this. Glory to God. We talk about Bible temperance. Glory, 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 glory. We want to be Christians in our heart. I mean, genuine Christians. We're not just talking about it. Amen. We're going to manifest this. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 2, and then I'll start reading at verse 20. Actually, verse 19. Look at this. It says, for this is thankworthy, if a man for a conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, for what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. And I looked up that word buffeted. Buffeted means to strike repeatedly and violently. Right? So someone, I mean, it's like a battering that's happening. Just keep striking you repeatedly and violently. Just keep battering you. Well, here the scripture says, for what glory is it when you be buffeted, when I be struck repeatedly and violently, I'm just battered, right? You know, it says, what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently. But if when ye do well and suffer for it, if ye take it patiently, then is acceptable with God. Look at this. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. See, and that word revile there means to criticize in an abusive or angrily insulting manner. Revile means to be criticized in an abusive or angrily insulting manner. Look at what the scripture tells us to do. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. So when he's a reviled, I mean, somebody came at him abusively, he didn't return it in an abusive manner. Listen, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but now are returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. I tell you what, I thank God for that. And this is where, as Christians, manifesting temperance, this is what it means to manifest that. Look, we got to have a goal that we set, and we got to see those things actually, coming to pass in our own lives. I'm going to show it to you in David's life, but can we see it in our own lives? I don't want to leave it back in Bible days, and I'm telling you, I saw it manifested. I saw it right here in Spirit and Truth Tabernacle. I feel like we're moving in the right direction towards the stature of a perfect man. Oh, my God, my God. Lord, I thank you to be amongst people that want to do this thing the right way. Yes, amen. David, let me just see something here. Let me read one more quote, and then I go to David. God's preparation. Let me read this. Y'all just bear with me. I want to settle this in. You know, just let this soak in today. God's preparation. Look at what the prophet says. Now, friends, there's many things
that people do and say, perhaps maybe, I'm not the judge of people, but I think any ministry or any denomination, any demonstration of the Spirit of God that can't be backed up in this Bible, I'd leave it alone. Let me say that again. Say, I think any ministry or any demonstration of the Spirit of God that can't be backed up in this Bible, I leave it alone. If anything that anyone says that isn't backed up by the Scripture, I couldn't go with it. Right? Amen. Although I wouldn't say it wasn't God till I seen the fruits of it, then I wouldn't say nothing about it. I just let it go like that. I hope y'all can read between the lines. Glory, that's a powerful quote. Very appropriate quote, right? Glory to God. If anything that anyone says that isn't backed up by the Scripture, then I couldn't go with it. Although I wouldn't say it wasn't God. Hallelujah. I mean, you know, like I started out saying, you know, you might, you know, talk about another prophet. We talk about Brother Branham. But I don't know the other brother, so I can't put him down. I know Ephesians speak about prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, right? I know it speak that. So I mean, I know if the Bible says it's supposed to be here, then it's going to be here. But since I don't know the person, I can't say good or bad about him. But I do know this much, that God sent us a prophet, and his name was William Branham. And I can go to any church that believe the message and say that. Oh, my God. Let me keep on reading. Listen, if anything that anyone says that isn't backed up by the Scripture, then I couldn't go with it, although I wouldn't say it wasn't God till I seen the fruits of it. Then I wouldn't say nothing about it. I just let it go like that. I don't believe in talking about people. I don't believe that. I believe in rebuking sin and so forth. But talking about, you know, I'm going to just be honest. Brother Branham even had a hard time calling people's names. The prophet had a hard time. If he knew that somebody was doing something that he didn't agree with, he had a hard time even calling the brother's name. That's our prophet, right? So, you know, that he had the life of Christ manifesting in him. So we ought to see the same thing manifested in us. Even when we come into this pulpit, I remember years ago, a precious sister, you know, she shared a scripture with me that has always just stuck with me. And I live by it. She say, in James 1:20, it says, the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. So if I come up here with an angry spirit, an angry spirit, and I'm just letting it out on y'all, that's not going to work nothing. It's not going to do anything. But if I just come in the right spirit and just preach the word of God, you know, it's going to settle right into the hearts of the people and just cause a manifestation. Oh, my God, my God. I had to learn. It's God's word. He'll take care of it. All I got to do is preach it in love. And now if it's sin, we'll rebuke sin. I'll be honest. I hate sin. And by God's grace, we've been able to keep a lot of it out of this church. And I pray by God's grace we're going to continue to keep it out of this church. I hate sin. I hate it in the smallest form. Because I know what? When you let the devil start real small, eventually he's going to get real big. And there's some things that I see, I might not say anything. But, you know, it's not even going to be a thing where you push my button. That's not what's going to happen. I don't think you can do that. But there will be a time that there's going to be a message come forth. I'm not going to even be prepared. You know, it's not going to be my notes just to say it. But then I'm going to say something that's probably going to hit you. Right now, I'm not doing that intentionally. That's not. But you know what happened as a minister? I can't avoid the truth. The truth is still the truth, right? So you know, like if somebody came with an alternative lifestyle, the first time you come into church, you might not hear me say anything. Just God bless you and everything. But eventually, I'm gonna start talking about Sodom and Gomorrah. I don't know which service that's going to be because it's in the Bible. But when I start talking about Sodom and Gomorrah, if you're in that lifestyle, you're going to get hit by the word that day. Huh? Now, I'm not. So put your situation, things that you know is sin in your life. And let me tell you another thing. The Bible says this, lay aside every sin and every weight that so easily besets you. So there's some things that are not sins, but they are weights. And I'm going to tell you, Jesus not going to even take the weights from you,
He told you to lay them aside.
Because people say, will I miss heaven because of this? Something this small, will I miss heaven because of that? Well, I'll put it this way. I can't say that you're going to miss heaven. But I do feel this way. You'll miss the rapture. You may have to go through a tribulation period to get your purging. Right? And you can still make it to heaven. But it's like, I'd rather make the rapture. That's more important to me, because you don't know what this tribulation is going to be like. You have no idea. We're starting to see some of it now, but you know it's going to get worse. Lord, help me to get back on track here. But I'm just sharing with you that, you know, we don't have to go out our way. Just keep coming. Eventually, if there's sin in our life, God gonna uncover it. Amen. And that's not trying to intentionally go after nobody. That's just trying to keep the church clean. Because I'm gonna tell you, if I don't say anything about it, then everybody else can start doing the exact same thing. Praise the Lord. That's why the scripture says rebuke openly, so others may fear. Now that don't mean I gotta call out your name. But I can call out your condition. And you can put your name with your condition. Can I read a little bit more? It says, if anything that anyone says that isn't backed up by the scripture, then I couldn't go with it. Although I wouldn't say it wasn't God till I see the fruits, then I would say nothing about it. I just let it go like that. I don't believe in talking about people. I don't believe that. I believe in rebuking sin and so forth. But talking about where this church is not right and they are nothing but hypocrites and this pastor's nothing, what does the prophet say? That's wrong. That's what the prophet said. That's wrong. All right, I'm going on. It says, just read it, right? You know, and then we know where we stand. Glory to God. Amen. It says, one man, one time, by the name of David, who could have killed his enemy, God led him right up to the enemy, and the man that was searching for his life, and even his general said, God has delivered him into your hands. Take his life. And he cut the piece of his coat. Cut off his coat, went back up, said, God forbid that I touch his anointed. That's right. So don't say nothing evil about Christians. Don't try to harm Christians, because you'll reap what you sow every time. Touch not my anointed. Do my prophets no harm. For it was far better for you that you have a millstone tied at your neck and drown in the depths of the sea than to offend my anointed. Is that right? So don't say nothing about Christians. Maybe some of them don't live just right or do just right. That's God's child. Let the father take care of his own kiddies. You know, if we go to fight one another, God give us both a whipping. So let's just leave the other fellow alone and pray for him. Try to love him and correct him, and maybe God will help him. Oh, boy, I tell you, I thank God for this. Just settles you. See, David, let me talk about temperance. David, we read it here in the scripture in 1 Samuel 24. And like I said, David went from sleeping in his father's house to sleeping in the king's palace. And then from there, because of jealousy, end up on the run, sleeping in caves. And as David was out here on the run, sleeping in caves, Saul decides that, you know what, it's not good enough that this man even live on the earth. I mean, because the longer David lived, the more my kingdom is threatened, right? The more my kingdom is threatened. So he just had it in his spirit that he was going to get David. He was going to kill him one way or the other. This was Saul's intention. And like I say, David going through all these, I mean, the frustration is like, I am the anointed king, pre-anointed king. Why would God allow me to have to go through this knowing that he said I'm going to be king? Why is the pre-anointed king sleeping in a cave? Well, God was just kind of molding his character in that process. As David was sleeping in the cave one night here in 1 Samuel 24, you can read it. But as he's sleeping in the cave, one night Saul and his men are out there in that same mountain looking for David, and they walk right into the same cave where David was. And here they come walking in, and man, they're going to sleep for the night, and they're tired of looking all day. And David's men, they know this cave. They done scoped it out. They know everything about it. They know all the ins and outs. And here they see Saul come right into their cave. One of David's men say, you know, oh, look at God.
Look at God. Look at God. God just led your enemy right to you. You didn't even have to go look for him, David. He came right to you. Look at God. And right here in this dark cave, nobody can see nothing, David. Go ahead and take him out. We standing right by your side. David say, no. Self-control. Temperance. Say, I know I can't touch God's anointing. I mean, I don't care how wicked Saul has become. I don't care how evil the things that he's doing. I don't care nothing about him chasing me. But I can't touch God's anointed. If God has anointed this man to be king, then he is king. Now, and our minds, we can say, David could have compromised a little bit. Say, well, I know God anointed him, but he's also anointed me. So this is the perfect time for me to get rid of him so I can step into my place. That's not the way he handled it. He said, no, I'm not going to touch him. No, I'm not going to touch him. Say, what I'm going to do is I'm going to just cut off a little piece of his garment right here. And I want you to get this because the scripture kind of tells us when David cut off this man's garment, conviction came upon David just by cutting a piece of the garment. What is it that we go through and how much do we have to go through before conviction actually strike our heart that what we said or what we've done was wrong? If David, without the Holy Ghost, could be convicted by just taking a piece of the garment, we ought to be convicted when we let the wrong words out of our mouth. Right. Temperance, David said, no, I'm not going to touch him. Now, I got the opportunity. Huh? I got the opportunity. It's my pulpit. I got the opportunity. I can say what I want to say. But no, don't touch that. Don't touch it. I remember, you know, somebody say, I'm just waiting to see what Brother Jack going to do. No, we're going to just be Christians. We're going to be Christians, right? We're going to draw this circle bigger. Yes, all glory to God, church. Yes, we're going to actually live this message. Huh? That's what this whole thing is all about. We done seen too many people faking it. But now it's time for somebody to express this message. Yes, Brother Branham said, what Jeffersonville need and what West Palm Beach need is thousands of live voices. Yes, sir. He said, thundering out in sweetness and humility. Yes, Amen. I want to be one of them. Amen. David, Brother Branham said, David had multiple times where he could have wrung Saul's neck. One, Saul was in the cave. Second time, we find him over in 1 Samuel 26. Let me just see. I might read a little bit of this. Let's go to 1 Samuel 26. Let me read a little bit of this. When in 1 Samuel 24, when David took the piece of the garment and he saw Saul just leaving out of the cave, and that Saul just leaves out of the cave, David yells to get Saul's attention, and he just bows his face to the ground in an act of humility, saying, look, I got a piece of your garment right here. I could have took you out. And people encouraged me to do it, Saul, but I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. You're God's anointed. I respect you too much to do something like that. Oh, if we could do this, I'm telling you right now, this right here, so many people need to be listening to this sermon. Right, because if we can handle ourselves this way, now I refuse to say anything wrong against God's anointed. I might not agree with this, and I might not agree with that, but I'm not going to say anything wrong. I'm just gonna let God deal with my heart. Oh God! But he bowed his face to the ground and said, you know, look, I had the opportunity to slay you, but I didn't. And when Saul recognized, said, man, David, you're a much more honorable man than I am. Saul made a promise. So you know what? I'm not going to seek you no more. I'm just going to leave this thing. I'm going to let this thing be. I'm not coming after you no more. But you know, Saul, in all of his efforts to do that, found himself right back on the run again, chasing David. Here in 1 Samuel 26, verse 5. David arose and came to the place where Saul had pitched, and David beheld place where Saul lay, and Abner the son of Ner, the captain of his host, and Saul lay in the trench, and the people pitched round about him. Now, I want you to notice this. This time we find Saul in the trench. He's not in the cave, but he's in the trench. But he's still looking for David. All right? He says, then answered David and said to Ahimelech the Hittite and to Abishai the son of Zeruiah, the brother of Joab, saying, who will go down with me to Saul to the camp? And Abishai said, I will go down with thee. So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground at his bolster, but Abner and the people lay round about him. Now here David walking in the midst of this camp. Everybody's out looking for his life. He walks right in the midst of them with Saul's sword laying right there at his head. Now, you know, we know David know how to use a sword. Because David took Goliath's sword and took his head off with it. But this time he got a sword of an enemy. And temperance rises up and says, no, I'm not going to take his head off. Look at it. It shows the growth. It shows the maturity. Right? You got to know who really your enemy is. Because Saul is not his enemy. Saul is his brother. Goliath, the Philistines, are your enemy. We don't, you know, see, that's why the prophet said, elect cannot persecute elect. Whenever you see the spirit of that, then you know something's wrong somewhere. Because elect don't persecute elect. Elect, when they are getting persecuted by the others, they don't rile back. Temperance. Glory to God. What verse am I on? Verse 8, I believe. Yes. Then said Abishai to David, here's another one. This is a relative of David, Abishai. Says, God hath delivered thine enemy. See, Saul chasing you. Saul has become your enemy. I know you used to play music for Saul and all this, but because of the way his actions are, he's your enemy. That's the way Abishai interpreted. Then said Abishai to David, God hath delivered thine enemy into thine hand this day. Now therefore, let me smite him. Now why is Abishai saying that? Because he knows David don't have what it take to slay God's anointed. But you know, and that's the way it is sometimes. You know, I mean, sometimes the leader, they won't come out and say certain things because, no, God, this is God, no, don't say nothing about that. Just pull that back. But then there's other people that say, I ain't the leader. You know how people get. I ain't you. So since I ain't you, I'm going to say this. No, you don't say nothing either. This is good preaching today, y'all. I tell you, I like this. You know why? I want to be a Christian. I really want to be a Christian. I don't want to just go through the motions. I don't want to go through the actions. I really want to see Christ manifested in my life. You know what? And I want to preach to a church that wants Christ to be manifested in their lives. And we don't want to just be church members. We want to be the bride. Look at it. Then said Abishai to David, God hath delivered thine enemy into thine hand this day. Now therefore let me smite him. I pray thee with the spear, even to the earth at once, and I will not smite him the second time. You give me permission, I'll take him out one time. And David said to Abishai, destroy him not, for who, not just me, Abishai, but who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? David said, furthermore, as the Lord liveth, look at this, the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish. David was prophesying right there. Because later on, Saul died in the battle. See, some things you ain't got to touch. Let God fight your battle for you. The Lord forbid that I should stretch forth my hand against the Lord's anointed. But I pray thee, take thou now the spear that is at his bolster and the cruse of water, and let us go. So David took the spear and the cruse of water from Saul's bolster, and they got them away, and no man saw it, nor knew it, neither awake, for they were all asleep. Now you can imagine, everybody don't sleep the same. Some people are very light sleepers, and the slightest little movement, they up, right? Others are real deep sleepers. That's the way I'm gonna be. I don't care what's moving. I can't hear nothing. I'm asleep. Right? But, you know, you can imagine all these warriors around. Some of these guys are light sleepers, but what happened, the reason David was able to get there to that place like that, he walked down there by faith, put his life in his own hands. See, I mean, this man could have died right there. David could have died. David could have died. But the reason he did not die is because there was a promise over the top of David that he had to be the next king. When we realize the promises that lay on top of us, there's nothing that the devil can do, nothing that he can try that would keep us from the promise of God being fulfilled in our lives. Can I say something else? You know, when you got promises for your children, don't even worry about what you hear or what you see, because the promise is more sure than what you hear or what you see. Their lives have to come in line with the promise that you apply. I'm almost there. Look. David took the spear and the cruse of water from Saul's bolster, and they got them away, and no man saw it, nor knew it, neither awake, for they were all asleep, because a deep sleep from the Lord was fallen upon them. Then David went over to the other side and stood on the top of a hill afar off, a great space being between them. And David cried to the people and to Abner, the son of Ner, saying, "Answerest thou not, Abner?" Then Abner answered and said, "Who art thou that criest to the king?" And David said to Abner, "Art not thou a valiant man? And who is like to thee in Israel? Wherefore then hast thou not kept thy lord the king? For there came one of the people in to destroy the king, thy lord. This thing is not good that thou hast done. As the Lord liveth, ye are worthy to die, because ye have not kept your master, the Lord's anointed. And now see where the king's spear is, and the cruse of water that was at his bolster." You can imagine them just just imagine it. See, you know, you ever heard the saying, "Kill them with kindness"? Well, this army was not the same after this event that happened. And it's because David knew how to exercise temperance, self-control. He did it twice. If we go on and read that, you'll see Saul recognized that it was David. He's like, "Man, you know what? I'm just doing the wrong thing by chasing you, and I'm just going to leave you alone. This is the second time you've spared my life. I walked right into this situation. You have spared my life two times. Yeah, God has established you to be the next king. I'm going to stop messing with this process." And I say this about David, I'm going to leave. David did that with Saul, but he did not have the same response with Nabal. David actually went to go kill Nabal when he didn't exercise no temperance at all. And if you notice the scripture, 1 Samuel 24 is in the cave with Saul. 1 Samuel 26 is in the trench with Saul. But 1 Samuel 25 is Nabal, which means he failed to exercise temperance there. Actually, he was about to fail. But when Nabal's wife came, Abigail, and said, look, you get ready to shed some innocent blood. You don't need to do that. God gonna make you king one day. Don't have this on your account when you become king. He was able to listen to what Abigail was saying, and he calmed himself down and turned around and went back. The Holy Ghost in you will make you calm yourself down, turn around, go back. We got to have Bible temperance. Whether it's with Nabal or Saul, we got to have Bible temperance. God bless you. God bless you. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, your word is so pure, so rich, so sweet.
I just thank you, Lord, for how you have lined things up for our church. You knew that this sermon would be preached next. You had it all lined up. You allowed us to go through a little trial. But God, we come through with victory. And God, and I just see how you manifest yourself in the lives of your people. I look at the quotes and the scriptures that your people just post. Lets us know, God, where they are. And God, as we just go back to your prophet's message, and it just settles us, we realize that all we have to do is just walk in this that's been given to us. It's been laid out for us. We really want to be Christians. We really want to be true Christians. It's one thing to say, I believe the message, but God, now it's time for us to manifest this message that we believe. Oftentimes, Lord, we've been in situations and circumstances where we've been riled on, and yes, immediately we riled right back. That's not what you're calling us to. That's not it. So I pray, Lord, that we would all be able to take what we've heard here today, apply it, begin to live it, and when we see our lives are not lining up with it, may we be quick to repent and have conversation with you, Lord, and just have you just bring us to that place that you want us to be. Forgive us all, God, of the times that we have failed you, where we've reacted the wrong way, where we've said the wrong thing. God, forgive us of that. We ask that you would, Lord, just make us and mold us to be Christ-like. We thank you, Lord, for your prophet just sharing with us how justification is made a way for sanctification. Sanctification made a way for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But the baptism of the Holy Ghost has made a way for the Holy Ghost itself. And may the Holy Ghost himself, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, God, may that be reflected through us. Not just gifts, but the life. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Just mentioned last, I made a decision that we won't release the tape from last week, so that won't be going out. And I do apologize for those that might want to get it, but I don't want to circulate that. I just want to keep it. It happened here, and we'll leave it here, and we'll just go from there. But ultimately, I want us to continue to love. We see our brothers and sisters again. I want us walking up to them, and God bless you. I ain't seen you in a while. So it's so good to see you again, type fellowship, with our brothers and sisters. So love is the key, church. Love is the key. Amen. And I thank God for what he allows to happen here in the spirit of truth. I thank God for it. Amen. Let's just sing a few choruses of this song. Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart. In my heart.
Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart.
Lord, I want to be a Christian.
Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart. I want to be a Christian in my heart.
In my heart.
In my heart. Oh, in my heart, oh, Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart.
Come on, sing that again with all your heart.
Say, Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart. Oh, Lord, Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart. Oh, in my heart. Oh, in my heart. Oh, Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart. Lord, I want to love everybody. Lord, I want to love everybody in my heart. Come on, sing with all your heart this morning. Lord, I want to love. Lord, I want to love everybody in my heart. Oh, in my heart. Oh, in my heart. Lord, I want to love everybody. Lord, I want to love everybody in my heart. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. Just wanted to make mention, don't forget also to remember Brother Felix in prayer. He'll be coming back home, I believe, the end of this week from Cuba. Him and Brother Jacob will stay there in Cuba, but be in prayer for Brother Felix that God will give him traveling mercies. And also tonight, the service that Brother West goes, Brother West called me on yesterday and mentioned that he had a minister here from the Uganda. I think he was passing through, and as he was coming through, he was going to have service this morning and service this evening. So he just called to invite us if we wanted to come for fellowship. That's 6:30 this evening. Amen. Everyone is welcome to go and be a part of the service. Amen. If you can. So God bless you. We'll have Brother Solomon come and just close us out in a word of prayer. And we'll prepare to let you go. God richly bless you, church.
Will you bow your heads? Lord God Almighty, truly it has been good to be here to hear these words, Lord. Father God, it's good to see your word being made manifest in your people, Lord. Father, you love to test your children to see the reaction of our faith, Lord God. And truly our faith was on display last week, Lord God, and even so this morning. We're grateful for your love for us, Lord God. You chasten those whom you love, Lord, and you correct your children, Lord. And we're so grateful, Lord, that over time, Lord God, you have been doing this to us, Lord. You want us to be right. You want us to do right. You want to manifest your life in us, Lord God. And we're so grateful that we have surrendered ourselves to you, Lord, that you can see your reflection in your people. Father, we thank you for your word this morning, Lord God. And we see in your children that it has been applied. We're grateful, Lord, that you take time, Lord. You come down the space of time to minister to your people, Lord God, to prepare our hearts, Lord, for that great time of the rapture, the resurrection and rapture, Lord. And Lord, we long to see you, Lord. We long to be more like you, Lord God. And all that you can get out of us, Lord, we, Lord, surrender to you. Just have your way in our lives, Lord. As we leave this place this morning, we ask that you go with your people, Lord. Keep that hedge about each and every one of us, Lord God, to protect us as we go. Grant traveling mercies to us all and bring us all back at the appointed time. We love you, Father, and we love one another. We ask your blessings upon your children now. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. You all may be seated. Our brethren will come and dismiss you. God bless you, saints.